This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're here with Joy Drive's monthly video game gossip with Elliot Attard.
Whether you're a casual button masher or you can't resist a long weekend gaming marathon, there's always something happening in the world of games. New releases, reboots, DLC controversies, we'll get to that shortly. It never stops. Joining us with the latest is Elliot Attard from Joy's Checkpoint.
Hello, Latham. How are you?
I'm going great, Elliot. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Good to see your smiling face in the studio.
It's great to be here. It's been a while since we've been on air together.
Oh, I know. What a duo.
Yeah, I know.
People have been demanding it.
Have been crying out. You should see the text line. It's just been, when's Elliot and Lathan coming back on air again together?
Yeah.
And so we've met the demands of the audience.
Yeah, we've heard your cries, your pleas, the begging. Put it to end. We're here to help. Latham, I understand you've been doing your research for this, because you're not much of a gamer.
Well, no, I'm not much of a gamer. As we've talked about before, I'm probably the extent of Mario Kart and Street Fighter back in the 1990s.
Nice.
But there is an acronym I did find out about, which is DLC.
Yes.
But I'm going to let you explain it, because I think you'll be able to explain it as an expert in this field better
sure.
than I.
Sure. Yeah, well, unlike kind of movies and TV shows and other forms of media, like putting together a game is monumental. I mean, I'm talking like sometimes decades of work. So upon the release of a game, you know, it's often, these days, it's often not like a one and done.
Mm.
You know, they can continue to update games post-release, provide new content. And in some cases, they can, you know, sell extra content for a video game. And we call this DLC, or downloadable content, i.e., extra content that you can download, and so that you can play new experiences in this old game that you have.
So I'm just wondering, like, I think about back in the day when I played Commander Keen, I went to a next level, I would insert the next floppy disk and that would get me to the next feature. Is that kind of the same thing, but now we just do it online?
Yeah, more or less, right? So games used to come on cartridges, and basically that as an idea is fading away. But you can push updates through game, you can push expansions and extra content, and all of that can just be as downloaded extras.
Do you think that, I'm sure the answer is probably yes to this question, but I can confirm anyway, that, you know, people who build games or the companies that build games, they purposely have these, like, they might have this whole thing mapped out, built, but they only release certain portions at a time to get the dollars flowing. Is that a thing?
Oh, sure. So downloadable content can be a marketing idea as well, right?
Yeah,
so, yes, you could release a package that is a monumental and huge, and that's awesome. And some game developers do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's one company called From Software that have these behemoth 100-hour plus long role-playing games that have way more content than anybody could possibly need, and we love them for it. or there are some other companies that build DLC into their structure, right? So, for instance, there are some, especially for some reason, there's a whole a genre of what we'd call like simulation games.
Mm.
So, like, there could be like truck driving simulators or train simulators or whatnot, where a lot of the game is for enthusiasts of those particular categories of hobby.
Yeah.
And they love selling DLC. It'll be a big part of their structure. It'll be like, here, you buy the base game. You want this extra train set of the RTK 9000 or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to buy that $3.99 piece of DLC. And they might have hundreds of DLC for the game.
Yeah, if only I was someone who could design games, I'd be a multimillionaire. But here we go. No, I decided to be a teacher instead. And moving on from our education on what DLC means,
yes,
we're here to talk about what the people want is the latest in the gaming news. So what is the biggest gaming headline this month?
Well, very recently, actually. I mean, it's because it's the end of the year, right? So the end of the year means that we always reflect back on the year that was. And so there is an event that happens at the end of the year. It's called the Game Awards. It's basically the Oscars for video games is the best way to describe it. It is something that, will attract tens of millions of live viewers, right? Like, it's not something to bat an eye at. They get all the sponsors involved. It's a massive live show happening in the States as well. Mm-hmm. The Game Awards. It is recognizing excellence across the industry. This is taking place on December 11, right? It's just around the corner. And the big news for this is that they announced all the finalists this year. So just like people watch and wait and to hear the announcement of who are the ARIA finalists or who are the Oscar finalists or whatever, in my industry and in the things that I care about, everybody sits and waits and watches to find out who are the finalists for Game of the Year at the Game Awards. And we now have those details.
So I'm going to go down the shallow path now, because first of all, I was going to ask who would be your choice for winner, but maybe you don't want to disclose that in the risk of offending someone. But do they have like a fashion thing, like a red carpet event as well, where it's like, who can wear the greatest tracksuit pants or
yeah.
Like, although I'm stereotyping gamers here, I am very much so, but is that a thing too?
No, we love it. Well, actually, the comical thing about these game events is that they want to keep it a little bit formal, but it's still gaming. So there's still some cool, casual edge to it. So often what you see is a lot of people jumping up on stage with a lovely blazer, and underneath is like a graphic tee of some video game kind of thing. That is like the quintessential video game award get up, and probably, you know, nice pants, but with runners on or something.
I'm also imagining they probably replace champagne with like, canned whipped cream. Like, I'm imagining.
What is your perception of games?
I'm envisaging Jurassic Park, you know, the original movie, and you had the guy there, I think he played Newton in Seinfeld, and he was like always on the computer, but he had the little whipped cream jar, which he hid the DNA of the dinosaurs in. This is what I remember now. But, you know, I kind of have this image of, like, just spraying some whipped cream whilst you're playing games. Like, it's an easy way to, like, get some dairy.
There you go. I've never heard the comparison between gamers and whipped cream before. That's a first. We're often said to be downing energy drinks, which I personally can attest to as something that I engage in, but never the whipped cream, though. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds for us in the gaming world of whipped cream?
So, back to our thing about enhancement. So, are there any big updates or patches causing chaos online this month? Are you aware of
anything? Oh, wow. Have you seen a headline that I should be aware of?
I'm just asking whether you're aware of any that you go, ooh, there's something disastrous out there.
I mean, this happens constantly, right? Because I think the controversy that often comes around DLC, patches, expansions, whatnot, is often around monetization. So there is definitely this side of the video game industry, which, by the way, always worth pointing out, is the largest entertainment industry in the world. We're talking companies that bring home billions and just do unbelievable things in this space. But it is also a space that is, for whatever reason, very, very money hungry. And so the controversies that often sprout out around downloadable content or expansions or whatnot is always about cost and price and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I even touched on it earlier, but some companies release a game with this massive DLC plan in mind, and they will be sectioning off portions of their game and basically selling them all for, like, you know, $5.99 or whatever they want to try to squeeze players as much as they can. Yeah. This got exacerbated via a trend that we now call microtransactions, where instead of like expansions or big portions of the game that are kind of sectioned off, now everything is in these just tiny, tiny interactables and tiny things, right? So it could be like a cosmetic or like a weapon or just something small, but every small detail has a price attached, and they call them microtransactions. And a lot of games are built on this economy where you sometimes they're free, like totally free games. You jump in, you play, but then you realize you don't have access to everything that all the other people have, and all this cool stuff is constantly being like flashing up on the screen in front of you.
And you want just a bigger wand as what they have for the magical games. Got it.
And then you realize if you actually want all the content that this game has inside it, it could be tens of thousands of dollars in tiny microtransactions to get there. So if you're asking controversies, that'd be it. The problem became even worse when those microtransactions, the small little things that you can buy in the game started getting hidden in what we'd call loot boxes, i.e. you're purchasing the loot box, but you don't know what thing is inside it.
Oh.
So now people...
It's kind of like I'm gambling by stealth, really.
It's been attributed and associated with gambling a lot.
Wow, yeah, and, there you go.
And people have had, like, different governments have stepped in to stop it from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So... Talking about, and going back to your energy drinks that you're saying you're quite guilty of. So, what have you been sculling down in, sorry, you've been sculling your energy drinks playing what game at the moment?
Great question. So, I'm always playing a lot of games, but I wanted to come at you with one that I found very, very interesting at the moment. It's a vampire game. I don't know if you're big on vampires.
Not a big vampire fan, but no. I'm open to it.
And this is like pre-Twilight vampires, right? So, this is a game franchise. It's called Vampire the Masquerade. They just released a video game called Bloodlines 2, which is a big kind of open world, modern day, what we'd call a role-playing game, i.e. you play as the vampire, you can go around, talk to people, do quests, level up, you know, allocate your stats, whatever, right? It's a big, encompassing style role-playing game. This series has been around for a long, long time. It started as a tabletop game, which is, you know, people I picture like Dungeons and Dragons, right? People gathering around playing without digital screens or anything, and it has just a huge following, so much kind of what we'd call lore, like all of these details that go into the world building and whatnot. And I've been a massive fan, and so of course I jumped into the new one when it released, and tell you what, Latham, it's pretty disappointing, this thing.
I was seeing your face and I thought you were about to jump in to go, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Not everything can be amazing.
Oh no.
And it started coming out, well, we've known for a while, but the development history of this title has been shocking. A studio that was working on it was fired. Another studio picked it up, weren't able to really give it the attention it requires. It just feels like an absolute shell of what it could have been. The previous game released, I think, about 20 years ago, and it had more ideas. It was more aspirational. It just felt like it was trying to do and achieve something, and the new one just felt like it was just trying to crawl to the finish line. It was really disappointing. And look, there's still some validity to what the game is offering, but no, unfortunately this week I am bringing a bit of a stinker in my opinion. This game was not worth my time, and I'm really disappointed because it had so much potential.
Did you pay $1,000 though for the pack? Because we've just had a text in, Shane from Madonga, saying, I think I heard recently getting all the Sims 4 packs cost over $1,000.
Yeah, that's not shocking at all. So The Sims is definitely a very popular game franchise, but one absolutely known for its DLC, expansion packs and whatnot. They have heaps. Heaps. $1,000 probably sounds like not much to me.
I can't believe people would spend that much money on gaming.
I know.
I mean, yes. Anyway, gaming. I know. Your gaming is my champagne. There we go. There we go.
Yeah.
Now, Elliot, when can we check out Checkpoint here on Joy?
Yeah, 2 to 4 p.m. every Saturday. Get your weekly video game gossip happening. And we are getting into the end of year festivities. So this Saturday, we'll be talking about the biggest controversies and flops of the year, all the things that didn't go right. And then the week after, it's the opposite. We're doing our own Game of the Year countdown, our own big celebration of the most amazing milestones that 2025 had to offer, and it should be really fun.
Fantastic. You can check out Checkpoint here on Saturdays here on Joy. Elliot, always great to chat with you.
Thanks, Latham.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.